To have a short message, and I will not take the whole time. We expressed in our prayers that we need the presence of our Lord right now. And it is a special occasion when we come together to hear the Word of God. Yes, that we do this in the presence of Him. I thought about a verse from Psalm 27, and I would like to share some thoughts about it. Psalm 24. Sorry, 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4, we read, "One thing have I asked of Jehovah, that will I seek after, that I may live in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire of him in his temple." Just this word. This psalm is very old, and it is written by David, most probably in difficult circumstances. We don't know exactly when and where. Might be in the time when he flew from his own son, Absalom, who took over, and David had to flee, most probably. We don't know. The psalms talk to us in different ways. One thing is that they talk about the actual circumstance of the writer. He has experienced something with God and he wrote it down, and God uses this to share their experience for us. The Psalms also talk about Israel, of course, about the future of Israel. But it also talks about the Lord Jesus. We think about Psalm 22. Who can say, "My God, who has forsaken me?" Whoever could say this except the Lord Jesus himself? And the fourth way how to understand and read the Psalms, and this is what I would like to draw before us, is what does it mean for you and me today? We have to be cautious to apply this, but the whole Word of God has a message for me, for you today, in our days, in our circumstances. And this psalm is wonderful, and I only would like to talk about this one verse. David said, one thing is important for me. So the question to you and me is, what is the one thing in your life? What is the priority you have set? Young people, but all of us, old and young, what is the one thing? You read in the New Testament about the one things, like Mary, for example. The one thing is necessary to sit down at the feet of the Lord Jesus to listen to his words, not only in the meeting. It's not enough, dear brothers and sisters. It's not enough to be in the meeting. It is very nice, very good. It's a blessed place to be there. But it's not enough. We have to open his word every day. We have to read it personally. We have to understand, and we have to make it our own. One thing. Is there something what you want in your life? There are many good things, many good purposes, but there's a priority, and the Lord Jesus wants to be your priority. The first thing to seek his presence all the day long. And this is what I wanted to say about this. One thing have I asked of Jehovah. One thing I have asked. Many things we ask for. Many things we would like to have. Many things we would like to be. One thing I have asked. Where do you go to ask? There's one address. The best address to be is with the Lord, because he knows and he wants to hear our requirements, and we should be only there. That will I seek after. This is a surprise to me. So there is David, who shows us that he goes in prayer to the Lord, and we understand this. This is the best thing to do. But now there is a consequence. There's a consequence also in his works. And this reminds me, we pray often for things, but we act differently. But in the Bible, we see that this corresponds completely. There's harmony, full harmony between the prayer and your responsibility. And this is very important. Isn't it very often that we ask for things, but we behave differently? This is not what David tells us. He asked for something. He asked the grace and the help of God, and God will respond. We will see that. God will answer those prayers, but in the same time, there is a consequence in his life where we read that he seeks after it. He does it. He wants to do everything so that this prayer will be answered. Think about your prayer life. Think about what you ask for, and think about if you act accordingly, if you also live with the Lord in that way that he can answer your prayers. I'll give you an example. If I pray the Lord, and we do that every morning, please help me today. Please help me to honor you. Is that a good prayer? It's a very good prayer to start the day with. But do I seek, do I really follow up during the day that I ask the Lord, what honors you? Is this or that what I do now, what I decide? We decide every moment. We decide a lot of things every moment. But when I decide, do I decide for the Lord? When I ask him to spare me, to protect me during my travel, during my journey somewhere, but I behave in a different way, I bring myself in danger. It is very obvious that these two things do not correspond. And I have to ask myself, do I react, do I live according to my prayers? With David, we see exactly this. There's a consequence, there's a responsibility in life that I follow up and do according to my prayers. And then we see three things in the following verse. First of all, that I may live in the house of Jehovah. That I may live in the house of Jehovah. We might have a problem to understand what David is asking here. You remember, there is a temple in Jerusalem. There is a holy place. There is not access for everyone. So David lived in a time where only the high priest could enter the holy space once a year with blood. So what is David asking here for? He asked to be there at the place where he could not go. What David expresses here is what we have said in our prayers before. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Is that something I wish to experience? I wish to have in my life? Not only some moments. He wants to dwell there. That means not just enter it, have a nice view like in a museum, and then exit. To dwell there, that means to stay there, to be at home. To be at home in the presence of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, we have so much more than David had. We don't have a place where we have to go. We don't have a temple building where we have to go. We have the Lord Jesus dwelling in us through his Spirit. And we want to be with him all the time. To dwell in the house of the Lord all day long. Those three things, to dwell there where the Lord is all the day long. I would like to encourage all of us to have this wish and to follow this up. The Lord will and wishes to answer that. All the days of my life, I said already, not only in the meetings, not only in moments where we share the word of God, but all the day long, also in times at school, at the studies, on your work, at home, every time. We cannot be busy with the Lord every time, every moment. We cannot read the Bible 24 hours a day. We cannot pray 24 hours a day. But this is not what it is about. It is about the fellowship, the communion with the Lord Himself. And this is what He wants for you and me. He wants that we are ready for that all the time. Now, there is a fact in the New Testament that we are in fellowship with God by grace in our position. As children of God, we are in communion with Him. We are made perfect by salvation so that we can be in communion with the Holy God. As men, it was impossible. But as children of God, as newborn, we are made holy and we are in communion all the time with Him. But there's a practical way. There's a practical part, a part of our responsibility. And this is the question. Do I enjoy this presence, this communion with the Lord all the time? And if not, what might be the reason? There's only one answer to this. The reason that I do not enjoy the communion with God is when there's sin in my life. But God gave me everything what I needed to take this away. God gave me His Word. God gave me His Spirit. And if there is a sin in my life, I always can come back to clean up, to confess this, and the communion and the joy of the communion with the Lord can be restored. This is a great privilege. And what does He do there? We read further in this verse, and then I come to an end. Behold, to behold the beauty of Jehovah. So when you are in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and we mentioned that from this morning already, but this is far beyond the meetings. It's for all the time. What do you do? You want to see the glory of the Lord Jesus, how great He is. And this impresses us. This gives us strength. This gives us motivation for our daily life, what we need. But you only can look up for Him. You only can contemplate Him when you are in His presence. And then this verse ends also, to inquire of Him in His temple. To inquire, maybe there are other translations, to study, to explore. That's exactly. There's not something where you can detect the beauty of the Lord Jesus just by passing by. You can have a quick look and then that's it. But you have to study Him. You have to look, and the more you do this, the more you find this great beauty of the person of our Lord Jesus. Where can you find Him? You find Him easily in the Gospels, where He lived as a man on earth in our circumstances. And you look how He reacted, how He behaved, what He said, and you will contemplate Him and you will be attracted by Him. And you will be happy, full with joy by looking up to Him. Let us be serious. Let us take responsibility for a life of prayer, that we act also according what we pray, and that we really have this wish, not only in the meetings, but in our whole life, to live in the presence of Him, and this will be a great, great blessing.
Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 7. The book of Acts, chapter 7, and I'll read only one verse, verse 56. Stephen speaking, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Ezekiel, you should find it easily. It's a major prophet. It's a big one. Ezekiel, chapter 1, and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, I was among the captive by the river Chebar. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which is the fifth year of King Jehoiakim, captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, the whirlwind came out of the north, great cloud enfolding itself, and the brightness was about and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Keep reading. Also, in the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this were their appearance. They had the likeness of men, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished grass. And they had the hand of a man under their wings, on their four side, and the four had their face and their wings. Their wings joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They were one straight forward. And for the likeness of their faces, they were the four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and four had the face of an ox on the left side, and four also had the face of an eagle. So far, the word of God. Let's just seek further help from the Lord this afternoon. Lord Jesus, the fragrance of the meeting this morning, our desire is to continue as we look up toward the open heaven, where all of our resources come from there. Give us grace as we speak thy word, that indeed it will be as the oracle of God, for thy glory, for thy honor, and for the blessing of thy people. Amen. An expression that was mentioned in the prayer, I think by Brother Tony, that the Lord will open heaven and feed his people. And I believe that on the Lord's day, when the Lord started the day with us, was a scene of an open heaven, where we could behold him with all of the glory and honor that God vested rightfully in him. I would like us to be carried on throughout the day today with such a vision. It will fill our eyes, that we might lose sight a little bit, at least in the beginning of the conference, and throughout the days if the Lord leaves us here, from the difficulties and the circumstances of life, that we might find our sufficiency in him and in him alone. The open heavens, it's a very unique expression. I believe it is mentioned only one time in the Old Testament, which I read it for you. I stand to be corrected, so please, that's a homework for the week now. You're going to read through the Bible, as we have heard already, and find how many times the word heavens open. It's also mentioned only two times in the New Testament. That's challenging to your mind. And I will mention, where are they? But the purpose this afternoon, as I said again, that our heart will be warmed up with the resources of God available to us in the person of the Lord Jesus. Stephen, in a very difficult circumstances, stone thrown at him from every side for the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And we are living in a day where there are thrown stone on everyone who is one going to witness for Christ. Might not be physical stones, but something to hinder the testimony for him. What is the resources that Stephen have at that time? Nothing but to have an upper look toward heaven. And there his eyes was filled with that person glorified. I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Ezekiel was in a very similar circumstances. A priest, I'm sure he wished, as the psalmist have expressed, to be in the house of the Lord. But he wasn't. A priest by the river Chebar. A priest not in Jerusalem, but a priest in captivity. It's not God's fault. They brought it upon themselves. But today, I'm not going to talk about responsibility. We will get to that. I want us to see the resources available. Because when we get a grasp of the reality of the living God and the resources that are available for us, we will know how to act. All God's counsel established in that man whom he have exalted and made him to sit at his right hand. All of the resources are available for him, young and old alike. No matter what life throw at you, stones or otherwise. All the purpose of God, whatever the promises of God, in him are yea, and in him are amen for the glory of God. And that's something that you could put your confidence in. But how about the ways of God on earth? If the counsel of God was established in heaven, in that man whom he has appointed, how about the counsel of God and the ways of God on earth? And that's what Ezekiel, probably when I said Ezekiel chapter 1, many of you got scared a little bit. Well, what is he going to say now, especially in chapter 1? I'm going to make it as simple as I can. The word of God is wonderful. What I have read, I want you to look at it this way. The resources of God invested in this mighty living creature to perform the ways of God with man in spite of the failure of man. I'll say it one more time. God's ways will be accomplished in spite of the failure of man. And this is something you could have your confidence in. His time was a very difficult time, Ezekiel, just like Stephen. I think one have said that it is easier to die martyr than to live a confessor. Stephen died a martyr. He bore witness. Ezekiel needed to live in captivity as a confessor. And what would help him that? Nothing but a vision of the glory of God and the resources of God to help him in whatever circumstances he's going through. He was captive. His movement was very restricted. But the king of Babylon could build a wall around him. He could even put chains on him. But he could not close the door heavenward. Heaven was open for one who seek to witness and to honor the Lord and to receive instruction from him. So what did he see? He said in verse 1, I saw that heavens were opened. Heavens were opened, not heaven. It's the only time in the Old Testament. Heavens. Now you're going to go and tell that the windows of heaven was open in the book of Genesis was the flood. Search them out. And I'm relying on Mr. Darby's translation. In the New Testament, the amazing thing is this. It is twice only mentioned. I read one of them for you. That's Stephen. The other one is when the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 was baptized. The heavens in plural were opened. Now you're going to tell me in Mark chapter 1, it said the heavens in plural, but it said rent. It didn't say open. And if you're going to tell me, how about Revelation chapter 4 or Revelation chapter 19? It's in singular. Here, it's only twice. And it's a wonderful thing because I want to put the Lord Jesus before us here. Please don't look them at it now. Don't look at your Bible to find if I'm right or wrong. Wait till you finish. You have the whole night. Could do that. Twice it's mentioned. The first time, it was in regard as the Lord Jesus was going to commence his ministry on earth. That's what happened at the bank of the Jordan. He was going to start his public ministry. And what does he need? To read all the books? Wonderful to do. Spend nights and days in prayer? I wish we all could do that. He needed to have a vision of heaven. Otherwise, things will become so legalistic. We need to have our eyes heavenward. Before the blessed Lord, the perfect man, the eternal Son of God that became man, walked here in the scene, before he started his ministry, there was a vision of an open heavens. And the second time it is mentioned, it's what's in regard when Stephen mentioned it in verse 56. Heaven opens. Because the Son of Man is going to start his ministry from heaven toward you and I. His public ministry on earth to serve his own, it was a heaven open. His ministry where he is, because today he ministered to the saints of God even when they don't know it. To supply the need. To bring encouragement, support for whatever the circumstances you're going through, young and old alike. And I'm not just talking to young ones, I'm going to talk to all of us because it doesn't matter what stage in your life you are in. Stephen was a young man. Ezekiel also was a young man. His ministry from where he is connected with open heaven. And what did he see also? The heavens were open. It's just not one heaven. All of them. All of them were open. To assure you that there is no cloud. That there is no distance. That he is available to help in time of need. Whatever that is. What else he saw? He saw the visions of God. Oh, we need a lot of that. And I'm not talking about people seeing stuff. I'm talking about seeing Christ, seeing the Lord in his word. The visions of God. It's looking up. We look around a lot. We look at each other a lot. And we get disappointed. And everyone is disappointed in everyone. And everyone is mad at everyone. And everyone is upset with everyone. Because no one does it my way. So he must be no good. And we bite and we devour. That's not the vision that could have helped Ezekiel. The vision to help Ezekiel was to see who's in control and his ways on earth. To see who's in control and his ways on earth. I'm not going to talk about looking, you know, getting news from the newspaper or the news media or whatever. I don't have to say about any of that. I think you're all like could say it better than me. Everything's upside down. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. And what was good yesterday is not good today. And nobody knows anything. And no one knows anything. I don't have to say much about that. And if that's what the expert that you rely on their vision and their interpretation, look where we are. Look where we have been in the last few years. And it's not going to get better. It is not going to get better. We need to get our eyes upward. And in our activity, as we're looking upward, we need to get instruction from heaven. He saw the visions of God. And in verse 3, it said that the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. And I want you to underline the word expressly. It wasn't just you open your Bible in the morning to read a couple of verses, which we were encouraged to do, and then your duty is done and you're gone. There is a word that came exactly, expressly to Ezekiel because he needed that word. What word are you getting? Young and old brethren. I know I'm in a company that verses could be written right and left and in between to adjust any opinion you want. Oh, where is the sons of Issachar's that know what ought to be done in Israel? Our older brethren are gone from the scene. Look around you. And when Paul said, I'm departing, but I commit you to the Lord and the word of his grace. This is what we need. The Lord and the word of his grace in the time of need to tell us how to behave in the house of God that we have heard from our brother earlier. It came expressly to him. It's a two-edged sword. It's a very unique sword, and it's not for anyone to handle. I'm going to say it one more time. It's a two-edged sword. It's a very unique sword, and it's not for everyone to handle. Because you could cut many ears, among other things. That word of God have to come expressly, not to the brethren, but to me. It came to Ezekiel. It has to come to me. It has to be part of me. It has to have impact on me. This is what you get when you look upward. In spite of all, the captivity was still there. That brook, that river was still there. The chains were still there. But Ezekiel was used mighty of God. What else? The time is gone. The word of God. And then in the end of verse 3, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The heaven open, the open heavens, the visions of God, the word of God, and the hand of the Lord. Those resources are available. What does the hand of the Lord do? I'm sure the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel in the temple as he's serving. But now he's by the river. Oh, the hand of the Lord is not shortened. The hand of the Lord is there to give help, to support, and to encourage the heart. Having these things first, now Ezekiel is ready to understand the ways of God. The open heaven will strengthen his faith. the open heavens will strengthen his faith because he has faith in the invisible. In a society where we're living, where materialistic things, touch and seen, become everything, we need faith to take hold of the author and the finisher of the faith. And what does the vision of God do to him? The visions of God will give him what is needed to know how to behave. It strengthens him in the ability to see things the way God sees it, not the way I think. There are many times where I thought things and I thought I was right until I went into the sanctuary. Esav did it right. I wish we all do the same thing. To look at things from God's perspective. That's if we really wanted to care for the flock of God. And then what do we read after? That the word of the Lord to instruct his mind. The word of the Lord to instruct his mind. It came expressly to him. And then the hand of the Lord to encourage his heart. Strengthen his faith, encourage his heart, instruct his mind, that he might know and understand the ways of God for the present time. So what does he see? He looked in verse 4, and there was a whirlwind coming out of the north. That's very simply not just a tornado. This is really the Babylonian army that have come from the north and wiped out Jerusalem. A great cloud and fire, but that expression is unique, enfolding itself. Enfolding itself. It wasn't unfolding. It wasn't open. It was close. Enfold, not unfold. I think it was J.D. who said it. The day will come when God will explain himself. It might be something else. I read it, but I don't know who. When God will explain himself, today we might not understand. Today we might not know why what's happening is happening. It's infold. But the man who is in the presence of God, seeing the vision of God, could very easily wait to see the unfolding things. The Lord told Jesus told Peter, "Thou knowest not now what I do. Thou would know thereafter." And then he saw those creatures. Living creatures. Those are, by the way, not space aliens or any of that stuff, or UFO or any of this. Those are creatures. Living creature, cherubim. Actually, chapter 10 of Ezekiel tell us who they are. They are cherubim, mighty angels created by God to carry on his purposes here on earth as his purposes were fulfilled in heaven by the man he sat at his right hand. God is in complete control. There are four of them, universal. There is no spot on earth that they cannot go to or fulfill the purposes of God in. Look at the map. You're going to have the missionary meeting and look at the map. You worry about the Congo, or you worry about Ukraine, or you worry about any part in the world. Oh, those creatures are everywhere. They are fulfilling the purpose of God. No one. There is no created power. No created power will stop God's purposes from being fulfilled, because that day must come when he will head everything up to Christ. He's in complete control. The Most High God rules in the kingdom of man. That's what Daniel told one of the most powerful kings. You're not the ruler. It's the Most High God, higher than you, who is ruling. And not only in the world affair, but in the Christian circles affair, dear saints of God. Let's not forget that. still on the throne, still in control. He will take care of his people. He will take care of his people when everything failed. He will take care of his people. He will take care of the lamb. He will take care of the sheep. He will feed his people with the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hand. This is our Lord. And these four have four faces, or have different faces. You know, they are different than what we have in the book of Revelation. I'm not getting into that. It's a wonderful study. I commit it to you. Just look at Ezekiel chapter 1, look at Revelation chapter 4, and hey, do something in the summer months while you have nothing to do. They really do you a lot better, especially to your fingers, than your phones and your video games. They will do a lot better for you. It's fun. Well, I don't know if that's the right word. It is delightful to compare Scripture with Scripture and to enjoy the Word of God. Don't think that book of Ezekiel is... We use a young man who seen, have seen... And by the way, when I talk about young men, I'm not talking about young male. I'm talking about to all of us. The face of a man. Supreme intelligent. The face of an ox. Supreme endurance. The face of an eagle. Supreme swiftness. And which one I missed? Face of man? Face of a lion. How could I forget that? The face of a lion. Supreme power. Supreme intelligent. Supreme power. Supreme movement. Swiftness. And supreme endurance and patience. That's the ways of God. You and I don't have that. No supreme power, no supreme intelligence, no supreme patient for sure. I don't have that. Not even a little patient. And the swiftness. All the ways of God are going to be accomplished on earth in a precise and unique way. This is a vision that we started with in the meeting this morning. By beholding him, the man that the world have despised and rejected, supremely crowned. And God sending his agent on earth to work things all together for good to them that love God. This is a God that we have. And this is a vision that we need to see. The interesting thing about them, it said that their feet are like a feet of a calf, and they are walking in a straight line. Balance is something that's really interesting. They're walking in a straight line. The calf split the hoof. Some people, some brethren, sometimes I feel they wanted to be more righteous than God. And some, I believe, wanted to be more loving than God. We are extreme creatures. There's only one who is full of grace and truth. But let's calibrate ourselves with him. Let's calibrate ourselves with him. His ways are balanced ways. You will be righteous than God. You destroy everything. You're being more loving than God. You tolerate everything. And there is ditch on every side. The ways of God are balanced and work together for his purposes with supreme intelligence, with supreme power, with supreme patience, and with supreme swiftness. And it said in verse 12 that whether the spirit was to go, they went and turned not when they went. How? There's a straight line. There's no plan B with God. It's not, oh, this didn't work, what are we going to do? Oh, we got COVID, now what are we going to do? No, no, no. It doesn't work with him. They change their mind every other day. Not with God. They were walking a straight line. There is no turning around. There is no plan B. He is going to accomplish his purposes. And when you and I, in the time of fear and in anxiety that is planted in our heads and in our soul for the last few years, and it's not going to stop. Young people, older saints, let's have our eyes upward. Fear is a natural thing, came as a result of sin. And we have it, and I'm not criticizing it. But let's have our eyes up. When I see who's in complete control, and he will do it right, in the right time, in the right way. That's a vision that should fill my eyes. And those are working on earth, but the one who's in control is there. And the Spirit of God in the world today, in the believers today, but that's a different subject, to control every movement. So things will work out for good for them that love God. The four faces. And I want to end on a high note. Go to chapter 41 because I have one more minute left. Chapter 41. It's more to say about that chapter, but I commit it to your... Still in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 41. Ezekiel, the one that have seen the glory departed. The one that seen the glory departed. Ichabod. In the beginning. Oh, he didn't lose heart. Your assembly might be small. There might be not many people there. Things are deteriorating. And you said, what is the use? Why should I be there? Might as well give it up. Oh, Ezekiel, in the beginning, if anybody wanted to give it up, that temple was flattened out and burned. And Jeremiah said, it's going to take 70 years. There's no hope. Things are getting worse. Numbers are getting smaller. Godly older brethren are gone. And here we are. And here you are. I commit you to the Lord and to the word of his grace. Is that glory going to come back? Sure. In the end of Ezekiel, as he describing the temple, the glory came back in a magnificent way. I'll just read two verses in chapter 41 because I found them very interesting. Chapter 41 and verse 18. And it was made with cherubim. He's talking about the curtain and the doors. About the doors in the temple. With cherubim and palm trees. The palm trees was between the cherub and the cherub. And every cherub had two faces. Oh, what happened to the other two? Two faces. Interesting observation. So that the face of a man was toward the palm tree, and the one side on the one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made through all the house round about. Two faces, not four. Looking at a palm tree. Oh, you remember the branches of the palm trees? When the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem, the victory is his and his alone. The world rejected him. The world have no use for him. The world have no use for us, but he is victorious. He is seated at the right hand of God. And the day will come when he will come in glory and power. Palm trees, the victory is his. By right. But he will share it with you and I. You and I will be admired. He will be admired. Sorry. He will be admired in his saints. The whole universe that knows your name. Nobody in Babylon know Ezekiel. Nor even anybody cared about him. A priest or no priest. Genealogy. Last names. All of that stuff means nothing. But that day will come. The day of display. Were palm trees, a symbol of victory. And there you only have two faces. The face of a man. And the face of a lion. Supreme intelligent. Supreme power. He's no patient anymore. The time of the patient of Christ is ended. The time of the patient of the saints are ended. Now, the kingdom is ushered in. With all its glory and magnificent, the verses that read over and mentioned in prayer this morning, we say them. I don't know sometimes if we just say them. Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. I don't know how many trillion people. A trillion of trillion of trillion. That were born from the time of Adam and Eve. Not only visible, but invisible. They will bow to my Lord. They will bow the knee to him. And every tongue today that is using the name of Christ in vain will confess that he is Lord for the glory of God the Father. That will happen. It's okay. Let them have their day. That's the day of man. But the day will come when he will have his right place. The lion, supreme power. No one could lift the hand or the foot without Joseph. And the one who is greater than Joseph, who will not feed the little country in the Middle East at that time or the surrounding countries, who will feed the whole universe and will take care of the... here they are. You worry about how you're going to feed the people in 2050. That's a big thing, crisis. We're not going to have water. We're not going to have air. Let's take care of the garbage and recycle. Maybe we'll save the universe. You're not saving nothing. It's going to burn. But I'm not going against anybody to take care of our responsibility. He will take care of it. The desert will be flourishing. And every soul will be satisfied. This is what we have before us. This is the vision of God. This is what we started with this morning. Gazing on thee, Lord, in glory. What does that mean? It's just something for Sunday morning because the Spirit of God put before us Christ, and that it ended as the meeting ended, and then we're going to go about our life. And there will be a conversation, a dining room, and it will be a conversation during things. And young people will be talking with each other. Hopefully, they're not going to be fighting at the basketball court. Good thing there's 2 days with no basketball, so we'll have peace for a little bit. And we forget all about that. That day is coming. Let it be true in our hearts. Then when stones are thrown, or not thrown, when we are in difficult circumstances, when the saints of God are in captivity and they don't know what to do, let's have our eyes up there. For the ways of God are perfect, and the man at the right hand of God is in complete control. That day will come when we would look at that temple and see the palm trees and see the lions and see the man. But I want to see the man. I want to see the man. God's man. Enthroned with glory and honor. I say it and I'll say it again. On the cross, they said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." There will be a throne. He will be sitting on that throne. And there will be a sign on it. I believe I'm right. And it's going to say, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." May the Lord bless his word.